singer, composer, pianist, and arranger, Lil Hardin Armstrong was more than just wife of Louis Armstrong or piano player in the King Oliver Band. Lil Hardin's composing, arranging, and flair for publicity were crucial in the success of Louis Armstrong and her own solo career in the 1930s. Hi, welcome to Jazz Rhythm, a weekly exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. I'm Dave Radlauer. Welcome to Lil Hardin Armstrong, Biography of a Jazz Woman. In this first of two programs, we'll hear Miss Lillian, in her own words, tell of meeting, marrying, and shaping the early career of Louis Armstrong, listen to the music they made together, and sample her spunky singing and piano style that later made her a success on her own. Here she is in 1925, playing piano with Louis Armstrong's Hot Five on her own tune, My Heart. Lil Hardin Armstrong was an extraordinary jazz musician, pianist, composer, bandleader, arranger, and singer. Her contributions to early jazz were monumental. She was present at the birth of jazz on record with King Oliver, Louis Armstrong, and Johnny Dodds in their earliest recordings. Even before 1920, Lil Hardin, Hot Miss Lil as she was sometimes called, was the most sought-after jazz pianist in Chicago, playing with the first New Orleans jazz band to perform there, Freddie Keppard's Creole Jazz Band.
King Oliver and Johnny Dodds came over together that night. So he said to me, he came to Chicago to work at the Royal Gardens. And he said he'd be very glad if I could come over and work with him. And it was a thrill to me to think that the great king wanted me to come and play with him. So we rehearsed and I joined him at the Royal Gardens.
As the wife of Louis Armstrong in the mid-20s, Lil Armstrong launched and managed his solo career. And as a musical partner, Lil worked with Louis, getting his ideas down on paper, arranging the sessions as she'd done in Oliver's band, publishing the music, and providing a strong rhythmic foundation on piano. She also promoted his stardom and built up his confidence. Her tireless efforts and craftsmanship made possible Louis's great Hot Five and Hot Seven records that changed the course of jazz, like this 1927 Put 'Em Down Blues.
Loving heart should be, so just be glad when he puts you down. I'll pick you up for myself.
Miss Lil also had real show business savvy. She always managed her own bands on the side and became a mover and shaker in the world of jazz.
Freddie Keppard, oh yeah, he was a man about town, I should say. You know, he drank quite a bit. Very good-looking fellow with lots of girls. And a very good trumpet player. Personally, I think he was better than King Oliver. I think he had a better tone. In fact, I know he did. He had a better tone. I don't know. I liked him better. Well, word was getting around that Louis was a good trumpet player. So one night, Freddie Keppert came in to hear us, and the bandstand was down low, and Freddie stood there by the bandstand, and he listened a while. Then he said to Louis, "Boy, let me have your trumpet." So Louis looked at me, and I bowed my head, so Louis gave him the trumpet. So Freddie, he blew, and so. And then the people gave him a nice hand, then he handed the trumpet back to Louis. And I said, "Now get him. Oh, never in my life have I heard such trumpet play. If you want to hear Louis play, just hear him play when he's angry. Boy, he blew and people started standing up on top of tables and chairs screaming. Freddie eased out real slowly. Nobody ever asked Louis for his trumpet again.
Even before their marriage broke up, Lil graciously stepped aside as Satchmo's talent blossomed, his stardom soared, and he became the most important innovator of jazz on record. By the mid-1930s, Lil Hardin Armstrong had successfully established her own solo career as a singer, pianist, songwriter, and bandleader. She was a dedicated music professional, recording, broadcasting, and performing frequently. She even led one of the first all-female jazz bands in Harlem in 1931, and again in Chicago in 1934. Along the way, Lil Hardin completed her formal musical studies, earning a postgraduate degree from the New York College of Music, and appearing in Broadway music reviews like Hot Chocolates and Shuffle Along. Throughout her career, Lil was in the company of the most inventive and original talents of jazz. Besides King Oliver and Louis Armstrong, the list includes New Orleans-born clarinet masters like Johnny Dodds and Sidney Bechet, trumpeters Red Allen and Freddie Keppert, pioneers of swing like Sax's Chu Berry and trombonist J.C. Higginbotham. In the late 30s, she was house pianist at Decca Records, accompanying blues and jazz singers and encouraging new talent, and variously known as Miss Lil, Miss Lillian, Lil Hardin, or Lil Brown Gal Armstrong. This is Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing, Classic Blues and Hot Jazz, Old and New. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me for a musical biography of a great jazz musician who left an indelible mark on early jazz. An independent woman who forged her own path through the male-dominated world of entertainment and the race-segregated culture of America before integration. A poised and vivacious entertainer who wrote dozens of songs. She left a brilliant legacy that's still being explored and celebrated today. An extraordinary woman of jazz, Lil Hardin Armstrong.
Ballroom stop. Just look at that style and grace. How that gal can.
keeps up that pace.
Wow, what a great entertainer. That frisky Lindy Hop recorded by Lil in 1937 is just a typical showcase for her exuberant personality and the driving small band swing that made her a popular artist in her own right. You're listening to the biography of a pioneering woman of jazz, Lil Hardin Armstrong, pianist, singer, songwriter and arranger, wife and musical factotum to Louis Armstrong when he was first becoming a solo recording star in the 1920s. Stay tuned for more of Lil's memories and her music and recordings from the 20s to the 1990s. Next, two songs from the years when Lil was a crucial behind-the-scenes creator of the famous King Oliver Creole Jazz Band sound, Tears and Where Did You Stay Last Night, and recreations by European traditional jazz bands, and more Hot 5 records from the 1920s as Miss Lil Armstrong tells her own story.
Well, you see, I didn't see the fellows much after they left work, so I don't know too much about their personality at home or off the job. Musically, I could only say Johnny was sober when Baby Dots was kind of wild. He was kind of a playboy of the orchestra. King Oliver was sober, too. He never smoked. Yeah, he smoked cigars, but he didn't drink. None of them drank hardly. And Dutre, he was a very business sort of a fella. He was always buying property or something. Well, when he sent for Louis to join him at the Royal Gardens, I met Dreamland. And the second night that he's there, he brings Louis over to the Dreamland to meet me. And I met him while I was playing. I was a little disappointed, because all the musicians called him Little Louis, and he weighed 226 pounds. And I said, Little Louis, I wonder why they call him Louis. Little Louis, as fat as he is. Oh, boy. Well, I was disappointed all around because I didn't like the way he was dressed. I didn't like his hairdo. He had bangs. That was a style in New Orleans, he told me later, to wear bangs. And it was sticking right straight out, and I said, well, it'll do it.
More about Miss Lil in words and pictures at the Jazz Rhythm website, where you can also request program playlists or explore the World Wide Web of Jazz. www.jazzhot.bigstep.com. Look for the page marked Lil Hardin. Trombonist Preston Jackson knew Lil well. He was one of the many New Orleans-born musicians to land in Chicago in the 20s and worked often with Miss Lil until at least 1960.
I first saw Lil demonstrating music at Jones Music Store in Chicago. Lil was just a young miss then, but how she could swing. Yes, I mean swing, no ragtime. 1 month later, she joined the New Orleans Creole Jazz Band with such men as Freddie Keppard, Jimmy Noon, and Edmond Tutti Garland. Man, Lil didn't know how much she could swing. Later, Lil had her own band at Dreamland Cafe on State Street, and was there 5 years. Joe Oliver came there from New Orleans and heard Lil play and paid her more money than she had ever earned to join his band. Lil never was a flash. She's a fine soloist and can lay those chords 4 beats to a measure and solid, just like the doctor ordered. Joe wasn't using any arrangements. In fact, hardly any bands were using them then. Lil did most of Joe's recording and helped him to arrange his band.
By the time that I was with King Oliver, making almost $100 a week. That's a lot of money, paying no taxes. My mother didn't take any money, nothing. You know, just buy ice cream and clothes. I didn't play solos during the time I played King Oliver's band because it wasn't the style at that time for the piano to play many solos. But sometimes I'd get the urge to run up and down the piano and I'd make a few runs and things, and Joe would turn around and look at me and say, "We have a clarinet in the band."
Thank you.
two songs from the era when Lil Hardin was working in the King Oliver Creole Jazz Band, Where Did You Stay Last Night and Tears. I'm Dave Radlauer. This is Jazz Rhythm. Please stay tuned for more of the music and memories of Lil Hardin Armstrong.
I probably would have never paid any attention to Louis playing if King Oliver hadn't said to me one night that Louis could play better than he could. He says, but as long as I keep him with me, he won't be able to get ahead of me. I'll still be the king. After he told me that, I started listening. But it was very difficult to listen to somebody play who's always playing second to somebody else. But I started listening to Louis after that, as much as I could. So then I was convinced. I said, yes, he really can play better. But I said, but I didn't know technically why it was better. I started going to dances and breakfast dances and shows and things together. Then we started getting to be sweethearts. In the meantime, Oliver was keeping Louis' money. He was saving part of his salary for him. After I started going out with Louis, I said, no, I said, you don't look right. I said, you've got to change your clothes. So I said, where's your money? He said, Joe keeps my money. I said, well, Joe doesn't need to keep your money. You keep your own money. So I said, you go to Joe and get your money. He said, I love Mr. Joe. You know, he sent for me. He looks out for me. I said, no, I'm going to look out for you from now on. So I said, anyway, I'm going to get you some clothes, and you're going to give me my money back. So I went downtown and bought him a overcoat and a $20 velour hat. So when he came to work that night, the manager and all of them said, woo, look at Louis, look at Louis. Oh, isn't he sharp? And Buddy Red, the manager, said, I knew if you fool around that chick, you was going to change your appearance. But Joe, he didn't say a word. He was very angry. And he told Louis that I was nothing but a spoiled kid, that I didn't have to give any money at home. I could buy ice cream and clothes with all my money, and that I would make him spend all of his money like I did, and he would have nothing. Said, you're a man. Said, you play fool with that little crazy girl. And so Louis said, yeah, I know. But Louis kind of liked the way he looked himself, you know. He liked looking there, and he kind of liked me, too. So I said, and after Joe told him that, I said, now you just get all of your money from Joe and keep it yourself. So he did. He asked Joe for the money, and then we decided to get married. Found out that Joe had been collecting $95 for each member of the band while he'd been paying us $75. So, naturally, he'd been making $20 a week a piece off of us for how long? So, everybody gave him the notice, except Louis. Louis always was so crazy about Joe. You know, he was his idol, so Louis and I stayed. I don't say I thought it up, but the idea came to me somewhere that as long as he's with Joe, he would never bring himself out. I decided, I said to Louis, well, now, look, we married now. I said, I don't want you playing second trumpet. You got to play first. Oh, well, he didn't like the idea at all. Boy, no. I said, well, now, it's just one thing or the other. I said, you can't be married to Joe and married to me, too. I said, now, if you're going to stay with me, you have to play first. Thank you. So I went to the Dreamland. I said, I want to put a band in. He said, oh, yes, yes, come in. He says, who you got? I said, well, I'll get some good musicians. I said, but I want to bring my husband back. He said, and I want him to be featured, and I want $75 a week for him. So he said, well, nobody else is getting but 55. I said, I know, but he's coming back. He's coming back from New York on 75. I said, I want his name out there in front. He said, well, I think you're crazy. He said, nobody knows anything about that guy yet. I said, never mind. You just put it up there. So I said, they know me, and they'll come in. So I had him make a sign, Louis Armstrong, the world's greatest trumpet player. So I wrote, told Louis, I said, come on back home. I said, because I've got a job for you for $75 a week. And Louis didn't believe me. Louis didn't, he wasn't anxious to be a star, you know. He just enjoyed playing. And he thought I was crazy, all that name stuff, putting his name out, you know. He thought I was real silly. So he said he wasn't coming back. So I said, well, I've already got the job, and if you're not here by this date, then don't come at all. Then the next day I got a wire, I will be there. And when he saw his name out there, he said, girl, are you crazy? What do you mean calling me the world's greatest drummer? And I bet you I don't get $75 a week. I said, I bet you do. So I got the contract out and showed to him. He said, well, I think you're crazy. And in the meantime, I had bought the house in Chicago. And when he came home and he walked in the house, he said, really, is this our house? I said, yes. Oh, he said, you're a magician. During the time that he'd been playing with the orchestra, the Vendome Theater, and Dreamland, that Tommy Rocker suggested that he form a recording outfit. And as a result, it was called Louis Armstrong's Hot Five. Now, what we would do is have a date, and they would tell you how many records you were going to make or how many numbers, and then we would write the required numbers.
Louis Armstrong's Hot Five from Chicago in 1927, two tunes written and published by Lil Hardin, Got No Blues and Droppin' Shucks.